The Holy Gospel according to Matthew, the 6th chapter.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Jesus said to the disciples, "Beware of practicing your piety before others in order to be seen by them, for then you have no reward from your Father in heaven. So whenever you give alms, do not sound a trumpet before you, as the hypocrites do in their synagogues and in the streets, so that they may be praised by others. Truly I tell you, they have received their reward. But when you give alms, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, so that your alms may be done in secret, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you. And whenever you pray, do not be like the hypocrites, for they love to stand and pray in the synagogues and at the street corners, so that they may be seen by others. Truly I tell you, they have received their reward. But whenever you pray, go into your room and shut the door and pray to your Father who is in secret. And your Father who sees in secret will reward you. And whenever you fast, do not look dismal like the hypocrites, for they disfigure their faces so as to show others that they are fasting. Truly I tell you, they have received their reward. But when you fast, put oil on your head and wash your face, so that your fasting may not be seen by others, but by your Father who is in secret. And your Father who sees in secret will reward you. Do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moss and rust consume, and where thieves break in and steal. But store up for yourselves treasure in heaven, where neither moth nor rust consumes, and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
Please pray with me. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable to you, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Amen. My college-aged daughter called the other day and told me that last night she was going to a Galentine's party. It's a party for gals, only the day before Valentine's Day, and thus the name Galentine. The name originally came from an episode of Parks and Recreation back in 2010. And this was all new to me, and I never cease to be amazed at the things my children teach me. My daughter was incredibly excited to be sharing the evening with her girlfriends. And I gather there was much frivolity, lots of giggling, perhaps talking about people they were attracted to, and likely lots of chocolate. It will be an indulgence for sure. Valentine's Day isn't that different, is it? We too will indulge ourselves. We may have gone to dinner, or we might be going afterwards. We may eat chocolate or strawberries or who knows what, but we will indulge ourselves. What a contrast that on Valentine's Day, we are all sitting in a place of worship, and we will soon all have ash crosses upon our forehead. I had to laugh when someone a few weeks ago mentioned that we should actually draw hearts on our foreheads tonight instead of crosses. We're preparing to enter the season of Lent. And for 40 days, our focus will be on repentance. It will be on turning our lives toward God and trying to get rid of everything that might come between us and our relationship with God. My daughter consumed mass quantities of chocolate last night, and I'm going to begin pondering tonight whether it is chocolate that is coming between me and my relationship with God. Lutherans love paradoxes and contradictions, so tonight is a perfect Lutheran night. The text we read from the Gospel of Matthew is the same text that we read every Ash Wednesday. This text was chosen way back in the Middle Ages for this date, and we're still using it today. St. Matthew in the text introduces us to what are called the three disciplines of Lent. Almsgiving, or the sharing material resources with the poor, prayer, and fasting. And I want to reflect for just a moment on each of those disciplines, because each of the three disciplines helps us to turn towards God and then deepens our relationship with God. The first Lenten discipline is almsgiving, or giving to those who have less than us. I was fortunate last week to attend an event at Luther Ranch with others from Region 9 of the ELCA. And Region 9 includes the Caribbean as well as Puerto Rico. Pastor Vivian Davila from Puerto Rico shared her experiences with us around the devastation of Hurricane Maria. There were stories of trying to physically reach members of her congregation, but being hampered by downed trees and downed power lines. She told us stories of deaths and injuries, lack of power and basic needs like water, food, and shelter. She shared stories of people who had lost their homes, but yet those very people who had lost their own homes were the first ones to come and help rebuild others. And when Pastor Vivian finished, she was clearly exhausted emotionally from the recall. And she slowly walked back to her seat. And one of the other representatives from the ELCA then got up to speak. And he wanted us to know that despite the devastation in Puerto Rico, the congregation there continued to tie to the ELCA. These congregations, many of whom were destroyed, continue to give 10% to further the work of the ELCA. That's almsgiving. That is sharing. That is giving what you have, no matter how little, sharing with others in need, and trusting completely in God. The second lens of discipline is that of prayer. Pastor Vivian also shared that there were times in the last few months when they were down to their last bottle of water. And so she prayed. And their congregations prayed. And they prayed that God would somehow provide for them and get them through this. And Pastor Vivian shared with amazement that every single time they got to this point, she would be contacted by the post office and told that there was a crate waiting for her congregation. And the crate would have been sent from St. Luke Lutheran Church in Michigan, or Holy Trinity Lutheran Church in Iowa, or Messiah Lutheran Church in Florida. She had absolutely no connection with any of these congregations. Yet the crate came, filled with water and diapers, granola bars and Lysol wipes, batteries and flashlights. Their prayers were answered time and time again, over and over again. And then she also shared the story with us of how Christmas really isn't that big of a deal in Puerto Rico. It's Epiphany that is the really big deal, the real time of celebration. And the tradition of Epiphany is to fill small bags with toys. And the toys are then given to the children of the congregation, of course, but also the children in the community who have absolutely nothing. And this year, they wondered at the congregation whether they would even be able to get bags, let alone toys, to put into them. So the prayers began again. And she said that 4 days before Epiphany, she got yet another note from the post office that yet another crate had arrived. And she expected more water or cleaning supplies. But instead, the crate was from yet another Lutheran church that she didn't know, and it was filled to the brim with toys. More than enough for all. Thanks be to God. The third Lenten discipline is fasting. And most of us think of fasting in terms of eating or not eating. During Lent, some of us may fast from Dunkin' Donuts, like I did one year, or from sugar, or caffeine, or meat. Some fast into something, like more vegetables, or more exercise. But fasting can go way beyond our diets or our exercise. Fasting is also getting rid of things that come between us and our relationship with God. And this can be food, of course, but it can also be technology, like phone or a computer, It can be an addiction. It can be a toxic relationship with a person or an activity. And it can even be an attitude. Fasting from things that keep you from praying, from keeping you from reading the Bible, or coming to worship, or letting God be first in your life. And Lent is the time to figure out what those things are, and then do something about them. Another story from Puerto Rico, Pastor Bert Lazaro's Assembly of God congregation. The congregation in Puerto Rico, as well as their community, were completely destroyed. And he initially depended on the relief agencies and the federal government, but his frustration mounted when the items did not arrive, when power was not restored, when timelines promised were not met. And it was his anger that began to cause a rift between him and God. And slowly he realized that his God-given mission in that time and that place was to fill the key gaps that were left behind by the first responders and the federal responders. So he began to raise funds through his own United States church contacts, and then used that money to buy groceries and truck them into the devastated neighborhoods. When he heard the hospital was running low on surgical supplies, he again reached out and brought in bandages and saline and antibiotics. He transported doctors and nurses to where they were needed most. And most importantly, Pastor Bert fasted from his anger. And his relationship with God began to strengthen. But today, first day of Lent, in these 40 days, we are challenged. We are challenged to give to those who need it most, to pray, and to work on whatever it is that comes between us and God. We're not challenged to work harder, because I don't want to confuse this with works righteousness. But instead, we are called to turn towards God, to open ourselves into a relationship with Jesus. And in that relationship, when we fully trust and depend on God, we will then be free to serve others. And I get that we're not in Puerto Rico and we've not just been destroyed by a hurricane, but we may have been destroyed by a job loss, an illness, a death. We may be overwhelmed with work and family responsibilities, or we may even be a caregiver, and our cup of care has run dry. Or things might actually be going well in our lives right now. And it can be deceptively easy to turn away from God when things are going really well. We so often can think that we got this, and we don't really need God. No matter our situation, Lent calls us to turn towards God. To yearn and strive for that relationship with God, to put God as the first thing in our lives. It's a relationship to which God has already invited us, and to which we need to simply say,